Welcome to Stormboy Speaks. On today's episode, we're going to continue with our spiritual intuition series, and we're discussing something of a very philosophical nature and spiritual. Quite a complex topic, so bear with me, but basically one that connects notions of scientific discovery with spirituality, I would say. And what I'm really trying to get to here is the idea of the field, which I've discussed, the creator source, or some people call God. I've said before, I don't particularly like that word for lots of reasons, and how we can use that, how we should have been using that, and what it means to our notion of reality. This is really what I'm trying to get to here, is what is it about the state of existence we find ourselves in that perhaps we could utilize more to help us in everyday life, in as much as it does help us with our notions of true reality and spiritual being. Well, first of all, let's think about this. So let's start with the first notion, which was that we know, as far as we've discussed from quantum physics, scientific discoveries today validate the idea of, on every level, of this field of energy, this field of source energy, which is at the base of all things. In other words, there is this field of consciousness, and this consciousness connects and is all that there is. Of course, we may know this now, we may have come across it, but it's still very difficult to conceptualize that when we think of it. So, if we think of it this way, it's almost like, just imagine, like, in front of you there's just a field of fluxing, changing, perhaps colors, perhaps shades, like an electromagnetic spectrum of plasma, if you will, fluxing energy field and nothing else. And that is all that there is. And that contains within it, as it were, or that's what there was at the beginning. Let's look at it that way first, actually. In the beginning, as I said, in the Bible, there's allegory in that, and that's the point. There's nothing, the face of the deep and all the rest of it, darkness, and there's nothing else. Well, essentially, there's the field, and the field would be completely dark, in as much as nothing's being created, nothing's really happening yet. All that you've got is a field of conscious potential, and that is all that exists, that is all that is happening. From that field, you have, we've discussed before, you had this first cause, and the first cause would be where a particle in the field becomes slightly unbalanced, and it's only through imbalances, ironically, that, of course, change occurs. And so a part of the field becomes unbalanced, knocks into another part, and so on and so forth, and creates something out of this balanced apparent nothing. But it's not nothing, it's just total potential. So if we mark that up now to where we are today in existence, i.e. there are planets, there are solar systems, there are galaxies, there are galactic clusters, there are multiverses, and it's provably the case that there are multiverses upon multiverses within black holes, and that's another story for another day in a way, but if you look at the work of Nassim Haramein, he explains that in great detail. We're talking scaling structures where you look from the very small to the very large, you can find that the black hole structures occur on every level, and within them we can talk about potential universes. So this infinite scale of things. Now, if we think of that as the creator source, whatever you want to think of it as, but it's living, it's conscious. Now, from that source, here's the thing. We, over, billions and billions of years, because that's just the measurement we use to discuss how things happen, you know, time, this idea of time, which is a questionable commodity, but nonetheless. So over this period of time, things change. And as they change, we have the experience of seeing galaxies, you know, created, and planets created, and so on and so forth, and ourselves created, right? And what we can see, therefore, is that from the ground up, the ground being the base structure of the conscious field of all things at its most base level, this fluxing field of energy has now over time built up these other structures which appear in a three-dimensional world. They appear to be solid. Physical matter has appeared, right? Now, as the great physicist David Bohm said, he said there's an implicate and an explicate order. Well, what I'm saying that he means by that, and what I'm interpreting by that from a perspective that may be slightly different, but is, so on the one hand you have the field which underlines everything, then you have this idea of the structure of the field which creates the idea of you, or the idea of a planet, or the idea of a chair or a table or a house or anything else. And then you have the reality of this physical presentation of it, this three-dimensional reality. All these things are part of the field, but they're on different vibratory levels. That simple. Some are vibrating very high, some are vibrating slightly lower and lower and lower, and so on and so forth. The lower vibratory tendencies are the physical matter, that what appears to be solid to us. So when we see that, we think, oh yeah, well, okay, you know, this is reality. This is the world we're in. Now, how do I do things in this world? How do I get a job? How do I start my car? How do I get some food to eat? Etc., etc. These are three-dimensional problems, we would think, right? In other words, physical-based matter problems. We go out. We drive our car. We walk to work. We eat our lunch, etc., etc. We create the idea of how we, you know, create our success in our lives. Now, most of that time, that is based in the three-dimensional realm. Now, if you think about what I've just said, everything comes from where? Does it come from the three-dimensional realm? No. That, as David Bohm would say, is the explicate order. It is the explicate order being what is expressed physically. Right, that's the explicate order. But it comes from the implicate order, what is implied, the first cause, the field and its, you know, continued causing effects. So if we think then, okay, everything's built from the ground up, and yet it's interesting that what we do in our world from day to day on a daily basis, what we do is we concern ourselves only with the outer shell of things. What I mean by that and why that's relevant is this. So if I try to, let's say, you know, I want a new job, or, you know, I want to create something wonderful in my life, or I want to build a house, or whatever else it is, I want to create the money to build a house, any of those things. Of course, there are physical things that I, you know, will be required to do there. But here's the thing. When I address only the outside effect of that, in other words, the 3D world of it, must try harder. I end up tying myself to an idea interestingly created by the gods, the Anunnaki gods, placed in the Bible for very clear reasons, which is that as Yahweh, and we know Yahweh represents the Anunnaki god Enlil, said, you are cursed to work by the sweat of your brow because you ate from the tree of knowledge. This is just an analogy, we know that, right? But because you did that, you will be cursed to work by the sweat of your brow all your life, right? Well, what's he really saying? What he's really saying is, you are cursed to be obsessed and engaged only with the three-dimensional physical-based realm. And in that realm, things will be extremely difficult for you Because you're not building things from the ground up. You're building things from the top down. Which is why everything that you try and do, for instance, you know, like you say, you try and get a new job, or you try and, you know, build a house or get the funds to build a house. You're going to try and go and live abroad, and you just try that, and everything's really hard and whatever it might be. You try and get yourself out of poverty. You try and whatever it might be. That's hard. And it's hard because you're playing in the three-dimensional world only, right? That's the key here. There are other reasons, of course, as well, which are to do with how you see the world. But nonetheless, that's what you're doing at a base level. So the key here, which is really interesting, is these gods put themselves in a place of power, right? The Anunnaki, we know they created something called the Mystery Schools, which were given by his brother Enki, the snake in the garden, to some people, some of the relations of the gods who they slept with humans and their basically their sons and daughters, who were effectively demigods, if you want to think of it that way. But basically they had their lineage, and because they did, they passed on some of this knowledge to them, and they called it the mysteries, the mystery school knowledge. And to this day, that is passed down in brotherhood groups like the Masons, etc., etc., in a very, very, very much watered down way. But nonetheless, those ideas are passed down there. They have been kept secret and occulted, which means secret and hidden, for centuries and centuries. Okay, so really the essence of those things is that what they taught you there is to stick only to the difficult way of doing things. Because if you realized your own power, your own ability, you would be uncontrollable. And how do you realize your own power and your own ability? Well, instead of building things from the top down, or must push this thing up there, do that, everything's hard, everything's difficult, what you do is you look at what underlays everything, which of course is the field, the consciousness, the implicate order, as David Bohm would say, right? So, for instance, let's say you have something wrong with your hand and you want to try and heal your hand. So you go to the doctors or something else like this, or you stick a plaster on it, whatever, right? What are you doing? Will it heal your hand? Yeah, it will, but it'll take a long time, maybe, or quite a while, quite often, and we all know this scenario, right? Well, here's the thing. How could we make that heal quicker? Well, we could make it heal quicker by affecting the underlying structure of what it is, the implicate order, the field of consciousness, which from the ground up builds your hand, which is of course what? The energy field that you would perceive that now over time vibrates and becomes the shape of your hand and is your hand. But in essence, all it really, really is the field expressing itself in a way that appears to be your hand, right? So, if you then focused upon the energy that creates your hand instead, and you spent some time doing that, both in meditation, we'll talk about that, and focused intent, then you would be able to change and heal your hand from the ground up, which should be extremely effective and happen extremely quickly. As Joe Dispenza discusses, when you do this, if you do things in time and space, they're slow. But if you do things outside of time and space, he's really using the same analogy, from the field, things happen immediately. This is the idea. And Joe Dispenza's work is well worth looking at, by the way. Please Google it, by all means. So what we look at here is, imagine your hand as an energy field, a fuzzy field of color, if you will, or, you know, vibrating energy forms. If you were to focus on that and see it as, and visualize it becoming the way you wanted to, and feeling it becoming the way you wanted to, and, you know, moving it in your mind the way you wanted to, what are you doing? You're using something that's been used for decades by athletes, which is visualization. And visualization is affecting the field directly because you are changing what the field will be in your mind. And as many great physicists have noted before, including Bohm, that the field is more like mind than it is like anything else. So in a way, this is that the field is an extension of your mind entirely, which is why visualization works so well, right? So you spend the time visualization. What's the other thing though, you know, on top of that? So you've got this visualization process. Also, you have this process where you can use speech, and that is where, for instance, you can inform your subconscious mind by using, by saying to yourself phrases. And what you're doing is you're giving yourself phrases. What is this like? Does this remind us of anything? Yeah, it sounds kind of like praying, doesn't it? Well, it kind of is, but here's the thing. Again, we've been misinformed by those gods on purpose because they didn't want you to know this. They didn't want you to have the power. So what they said was, oh, you've got to say, you know, praise be to me, to Yahweh, to whoever, right? To anybody, whatever name they might give, okay? To the Lord, that's the biggie, right? The Lord who rules you, that's correct. So get on your knees, do that, beg me, and, you know, I'll help you. And does that ever work? Well, yeah, sometimes, but it takes a huge amount of effort. That's the thing. Well, here's the thing. They do that so that it disconnects you from the field of all things, which, of course, responds to not to begging, not to asking or pleading, but to direct commands. Statements of I am are always extremely powerful. As you, anybody knows anything about that, maybe you're aware. But here's the thing. Any positive statement of something being already the case, you know, I am incredibly healthy, or I have great wealth, for instance. Any of these things will work and will affect you when they're placed in your subconscious mind, and the time to do that is when waking and when going to sleep, and you need to say it quite a lot, and you need to say it as you're falling asleep, and you need to do it very regularly, and that bolsters up all those. It's a very simple thing, and trust me, it works. That included with things like visualization at perhaps a separate time or at the same time will bring you numerous things, because the field is a response field of energy which responds to your desires and your choices, whether they are conscious or not. In other words, if you go around thinking, oh no, my life's so bad, I feel so much this way, then the field goes, yeah, your life's so bad, continue having it this way because that's what the instructions you've given me. You must give the instructions you choose. And that doesn't mean just consciously saying them either. It means thinking them. And that's a thing, because thoughts are things. So you have to put out that energy statement consciously. And that's why subconscious statements, as you're going to sleep, kind of helps with that. It reinforces you, you know, these kind of ideas of reinforcing ideologies within you. It's a good thing. Also, of course, visualization helps. Now, most of us are very bad at things like visualization because we've been taught over years not to do it. Just beg and pray to the Lord instead, right? Whoever rules you, because they don't want to know you to know how unbelievably powerful you are, as I stated. However, using any of these simple techniques, you can use that to reshape the energy field of Source to bring about, using the idea of the implicate order under all things, to create it into this physiological state of three-dimensional reality. Visualization, of course, is a very, very useful thing. You can do it anytime, any place, anywhere. Focus on what you choose. And of course, these are all about choices. And then we look at things like meditation. And why is meditation extremely important? Well, in meditation, you're not directing things. You're not making I am statements. You're not doing any of these things in pure meditation. What you are doing is becoming one with the field. You are letting go. You are focusing in an unfocused way, if you like. What you're trying to do is just let go of your personality self. Stop thinking that you're whoever, Joe Bloggs or anybody else. Let that conscious state go and realize that what you've already put out in your messaging through your visualizations and to your reinforced statements to your subconscious mind have done the work. And now you have to let that go and allow, during meditation, the source, the creator source, the field of all things to flow through you and allow it to take that and bring it to you in the way you've chosen, in a way you might not quite expect perhaps, but it's going to bring what you chose no matter what, if you let it go. The key here, and I've said this many times to many people, is what humans, because they've been taught this kind of, only kind of like action and response way of being, is they're always checking. So they're always checking, oh, are we there yet? That's the best way to think of it. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Every time you check, are we there yet? It's like, imagine, you're in the car and the kids are checking, are you there yet? Are you there yet? It's like you put on the brakes and you have to stop and wait for another 6 hours. So look at it that way. It's just an analogy, a simple analogy. I'd say that's pretty accurate. Because you're not trusting in the source. You're not trusting in basically the energy vehicle that brings you what you have chosen. You've put out this message to the field. You've visualized it. You've stated and you've let it go. You have to let it go like you post a letter. And just like posting a letter when people did that, for instance, what you find is it will come back. But sometimes you don't know when. Sometimes it can take ages, but it still turns up, right? It turns up. That's the thing. And that's what you've got to think of it as. So source is what you have to connect with during meditation. If you just meditate, what you're doing is you're just flowing with source, and source comes the way it will, and it flows the way it will in a positive and negative way, flowing itself. The source of all things is designed to be played with. It isn't that you have to, but if you don't, you're not giving it any specific directives, so it just comes in a multitude of ways. What you've got to think here is you give the field direction, you visualize it, you subconsciously reinforce that morning and evening, you let that go as you're falling asleep, and you meditate. When you meditate, you let that go and you try to become one with the field, trusting in the field, and understand that all things flow through you and are you. And then you just let it go. And that might be to do with any choices you have. And as I say, the importance of here is not because I'm thinking, yes, you should all go out and create self-help things and make yourself rich and whatever. These things are meaningless. What it is that you should all be empowered and realize how unbelievably powerful you are. Because as they know, if everybody did this, no one would rule the world except everyone. No one would need gods to bow to, the Anunnaki I'm speaking of. And no one would need leaders to bow to, because everyone would just be doing their own thing together of their own volition without any controls needed. That's the point. I hope this has been useful to you, and I hope it's empowering to you, because if there is one thing I wish to bring, it's self-empowerment to as much of humanity as I possibly can, to get back the reins that were stolen from all of us millennia ago. On that note, I wish you the best, and as always, truth, freedom, and balance.